The two new entrants to the high-risk list, which GAO updates every 2 years, are federal IT acquisition and healthcare in the Department of Veterans Affairs. GAO says agencies have made progress with many of the items that have been ongoing trouble spots for years, but haven't fully resolved the watchdog agency's concerns. And while the list has seen programs come and go over the years, six of the ones in the list GAO issued Wednesday have been there since GAO first began publishing the list in 1990. Jason Chaffetz is the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
We're having the silver anniversary for six of these programs. 25 years on the list is wholly unacceptable. To get off the list, there are five criteria. It doesn't say that the whole thing has to be wiped out and solved, but those are achievable goals. For agencies to be on the list after 25 years, we got to solve that problem.
But under a new rating mechanism GAO introduced this year, designed to measure agencies' partial progress toward getting off the list, there is reason to be optimistic that the number will shrink by the next update, according to Gene Dodaro, the U.S. Comptroller General and the head of GAO.
Where we're rating each of the high-risk areas on the five criteria that Congressman Chaffetz enumerated. Leadership commitment, where they have the capacity, the people, the resources to actually fix the problem, where they have a good corrective action plan that addresses the root causes of the problem, and they can monitor it over time. They need a monitoring effort, and they need to demonstrate progress. They really don't need to have it 100% fixed, but they have to be demonstrate tangible results in fixing the problem and on the road to ultimate solutions. Of the 30 areas that were on the list, 18 have at least partially met all five criteria, and 11 of those 18 have fully met one of the criteria or more and partially met the others. It is a bit of an urban legend that if you get on the GAO high-risk list, you can never come off. There are areas that have come off. None are coming off this update, however.
With respect to the addition of federal IT to the list, Dodaro says GAO is concerned about a pattern of missteps relating to both the acquisition and operations of government technology systems. Out of the $80 billion spent on federal IT each year, he says $58 billion goes to keep legacy systems up and running.
And we're concerned that's not being managed effectively. As it relates to new areas, we provide a litany of failed government efforts that after millions, in some cases billions of dollars and several years of development have been canceled. There's a lot of cost growth and schedule slippages in other areas, and ultimately, in many cases, the systems are developed with less functionality than intended and therefore don't make a real improvement in execution of the mission of the agency.
Dodaro says GAO has made a total of 737 recommendations over the past 5 years to improve federal IT, but only 23% have been implemented. He says last year's passage of the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA, should help matters, but only if it's implemented effectively. GAO used a similar rationale in adding veterans' health care to the 2015 list. Congress passed the Veterans Access, Choice, and Accountability Act last year, giving VA $15 billion to hire more clinicians and pay for private sector medical care. But GAO says VA will need careful oversight to make sure the extra funding is used effectively and that the root causes of a series of patient access scandals that came to light last year are resolved. Since 2010, GAO has made 167 recommendations to improve patients' access to care, but only 20% have been implemented.
And I might point out, in a number of these cases, VA agreed to implement the recommendations, but they weren't being implemented over time, you know, effectively. I met with Secretary Shinseki when he was there, talked about the need to implement the recommendations. I just met with Secretary McDonald, and he agreed to make it a priority to implement the recommendations. Most of them are in access to care issues where they don't have good scheduling systems put in place. The IT system that supports the scheduling system is about 30 years old. One of the IT failures that we point out in our report was, I think it was after 7 or 9 years and over $200 million, they terminated their effort to upgrade and modernize that system. They don't have good data in a lot of areas to compare whether it's cheaper for certain particular services to give treatment in a VA facility or send the person to a non-VA facility. And this is really important because Congress you've just given them $10 billion to make those decisions. They don't have good information to make well-informed decisions in those areas.
In this year's update, GAO also made some tweaks around the edges to a handful of long-standing items of concern, either narrowing the scope of problem areas because agencies have made progress or tacking on additional worries to existing areas. On the plus side, the Defense Department has continued to chip away at GAO's concerns about contract management. GAO says the department's Better Buying Power program has helped DoD fix concerns with the improper use of time and materials and non-competitive contracts, so the new high-risk list takes the contracting technique subcategory out of the to-do list. But that's one of four contract management concerns GAO has had in the past. The other three are still a problem, Dodaro says.
But their remaining areas they need to fix are service acquisitions. They have to ensure they have an acquisition workforce commensurate with the challenges associated with that, and they have to make improvements in operational contracting where they're using contracting to support military operations and in the theater.
Similarly, GAO still has concerns about the Food and Drug Administration's oversight of how the globalization of the pharmaceutical industry is affecting patient safety and ensuring that shortages of critical drugs don't occur in the U.S. medical system. But it says the FDA has made major progress in monitoring medical device recalls, so the FDA is off the hook for two of the four subcategories GAO's identified in the past. On the downside, GAO decided it needed to expand its focus on two areas that have been long-standing items on the risk list, federal cybersecurity and tax law enforcement. IT security has been on the watch list since 1997 and was the first item GAO ever identified as a government-wide concern. But Dodaro says GAO expanded the category this year to also include concerns about data breaches that expose personally identifiable information.
The number of incidents has more than doubled in the last 5 years. To over 27,000. So that's just reports by the federal agencies of incidents involving personally identifiable information. There have been obvious high-profile incidents in the private sector as well. Privacy laws were passed initially in 1974. They need to be updated. And we have a number of suggestions, both for the Congress and the executive branch agencies.
As to the IRS item, GAO has long been concerned about uncollected taxes, which it estimates at $385 billion per year. But this year's update includes a new focus area on fraud due to identity theft.
Last year, IRS stopped, they estimate, about $24 billion in potential fraud, and they missed about $5.8 billion. So we're concerned. We have a number of recommendations that we'll be talking about with Congress for some potential legislative fixes. In this area and things that IRS could do.
Many of the items on this year's list are familiar fixtures. The Defense Department alone is responsible for eight of them, including financial management and weapon systems acquisition. But Dodaro says most of GAO's concerns are imminently fixable with the right amount of management attention. And even though the high-risk list has been around for a quarter century, that management attention has been increasing.
During the Bush administration, we started GAO, started having meetings with OMB and the agencies on the high-risk list, but it was sort of at the assistant secretary level and below. And I said, look, if you get the head or the deputy of the agency here to the meeting and the deputy director for management is at the meeting, I personally will participate in those meetings to focus on what needs to be done to make improvement. We've been doing that for the past couple of years, and I attribute that raising the elevation of that level of the top agency leaders in the agency to the degree of progress that we've seen over the past several years. I believe engagement with those top officials, whether it be in a hearing or it be in a private meeting, it be with correspondence or other efforts with the Congress, with the agency, is really, really important.
And even though Congress has made it a habit to use the high-risk list to berate agencies for underperformance, Dodaro says Capitol Hill has a role too. The list this year includes asterisks beside each area that need legislative action, not just better management by federal agencies.
Financing the nation's surface transportation system is an example. Postal Service reform is another example. And there are many other areas on the high-risk list where Congress is an integral part of actually fixing the problem, and we've noted that, so that the Congress could focus on those areas. So those are two real fundamental things that I think are very, very important in ensuring continuity over time so that progress can be achieved. You know, one of the reasons I was very convinced to put VA healthcare and IT acquisitions and reform on those areas. I believe neither one will be fully resolved during this administration's watch and will have to be continued and sustained into the next administration. And so it's very important to have that continuity to focus on these problems.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.